Welcome to the London Property Podcast, your go-to source for navigating the complex and ever-changing London real estate market. Our digital marketplace provides informative and educational content from industry leaders through podcasts and videos. We cover various aspects of the real estate experience, including buying and selling, finance, law, tax, construction, design, and more. Join us as we delve into the latest trends and developments in the market and gain valuable insights from our panel of experts.
Hello and welcome to London Property. I'm your host, Farnaz Fazaipour. And today we're talking again to Justin Bennett of LBB Chartered Surveyors. And this time we're talking about what is marriage value. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me. So marriage value is essentially a term for comparing two interests. So in the leasehold enfranchisement situation, you have a landlord has an interest and the tenant has an interest, or the leaseholder, freeholder, the terminology is interchangeable. Once a property is enfranchised, so the freehold is bought, only the tenant has an interest. But in the case of a flat, when a lease extension happens, both the tenant has an interest, they have the longer interest, and the landlord has an interest, but their reversion, the time when they get that property back, is further away. So beforehand, the tenant has their short lease, whatever length that short lease is, you know, it has to be less than 80 years, otherwise marriage value is ignored. And the landlord, you know, has an interest that's more valuable because they're going to get their property back sooner. And they may have or may not have a ground rent income during that period, which is the annual rent. So to work out the marriage value, you compare what both parties have after the transaction with what both parties had before the transaction. If there is a positive difference, that is the marriage value, and at the moment, the parties share that 50-50.
And how does it work with regards to the sort of formula that's used in leasehold reform?
Well, the formula is no different here, to commercial property. It is just a simple comparison. It's how you arrive to the figures that input into that very simple comparison that causes the controversy and the disputes that arise over the level of premium.
Okay.
So what you the premium is made up of two parts, essentially. I mean, there are other compensation or development value that may come into it, but essentially it's two parts. What does the landlord have at the moment? You compare that with what they will have in the future. That is the landlord's loss that's often referred to as the diminution in value. So that's the first part that must be paid as the compensation, because you're taking that away. Then we look at, is there any profit for both parties in this, or for the tenant in particular, and that's the marriage value. And you compare the length of the lease the tenant will have with the value of the freehold, and you compare the lease that they have with the value of the freehold. This is what they call relativity. So this is the percentage difference between the value of a short lease and the freehold or an extended lease. So typically one would say a lease over 130 years, doesn't matter if it's 999 years, will be 99% of freehold value, and it drops back from there. And over time, due to various cases, the relative value of shorter leases compared to freehold has fallen, which is why you now see higher amounts of marriage value. But in the marketplace, the relativity has also fallen, but that stems from how the landlord's loss of reversion is calculated. So if you go back to when the legislation was first introduced in 1993, we had, you know, transactions that are happening in the real world, you know, especially in flats. You have to go back to 67 and 70 and for the original house enfranchisements, 74, I think, for the higher value properties, and the concept of marriage value coming into the calculation in a residential term. As I said, it does exist. It's just a reality. You know, if we have two vases, you know, you own one, I own the other, we combine them together, there's an increase in value because you've got the pair, then we share it, the increase 50-50. Then, you know, we're quids in. So it's a normal phenomenon. And as the value of the interests are changing, so when we had this case called RB, which reduced the discount rates, this was followed up by Sportelli, which brought them up a little bit more, and then there were a few around the rest of the UK. There were other challenges to deal with, obsolescence and real growth rates, but the basis is effectively Sportelli. But if you take central London, discount rates were 6% before. In the suburbs, they were 7 or 8%. And then everybody is moving to 5% for flats. Everybody's premiums went up overnight. So if you're buying a short lease from me, you're going to pay me less in the knowledge that the premium is higher. So the market relativity drops. So that means that you then shift towards the statutory assumption. And the statute says that you're the only lease in the market that cannot extend your lease or buy your freehold, which means that you will discount that market relativity to get to your statutory relativity. And progressively over the years, you have a situation where now these new discounted relativities deriving from the new market is increasing the cost of premium because it increases the amount of marriage value. So you have this doubling effect, which is leading to the call for reform to reduce the cost of premiums.
Right. And then you just mentioned that the houses were from the 1967 Act.
Yes.
So there's a difference in the way that the legislation handles the extension of houses when it comes to value versus flats.
Well, the extension of a house, you have to, it's for a very small group. It's a 50-year extension at what they call a modern ground rent. And those generally apply to the lower value houses. And generally, it's only those who cannot afford the premium that will extend the lease. And the premium is much less than the premium for a lease extension where marriage value is involved, because you assume a 50-year extension inside when you're doing the calculation.
And what about tenant improvements?
Tenant improvements are disregarded if they're done by the tenants or duration of the lease. And that applies in both circumstances. There are technical differences, but they are very technical.
So can you just clarify to us what are the proposed changes to marriage value?
The total abolition, the removal of it from the equation.
Right.
So essentially say, from now on, all you pay is the landlord's loss, which means that you've got an automatic shift in value from one party to the other. So going forward, the cost of a lease extension will be cheaper. But the only person gaining is the existing leaseholder. So if you own a flat at the moment, you gain the benefit of this and nobody else. Because the person, you can either choose to take advantage of the cheaper lease extension to complete your lease extension or enfranchisement, or you can choose to sell your flat to somebody else at a higher price, because they will pay more in the knowledge that they will pay less for a lease extension. So it's literally a shift from one party to the other in value.
And what impact do you think that's going to have on valuations?
Well, in terms of my professional day-to-day life, it's caused a hiatus. And you had a period where people are saying, oh, it's going to come through very quickly. But as the legislation is going through Parliament, the bill is growing in length. It's gone from 140 pages to 196 pages already. There are rafts of amendments. I think they're up to 120 amendments now, or 123, I think, precisely as of this morning. And the latest publication was the 21st. And, the committee finished, over a week ago. And so it's going into Parliament for a third reading on the 23rd. Then it goes off to the House of Lords. Who knows whether what we're actually discussing right now will be what exists. And we don't know if another bit of turmoil would hit the government and they'll decide to call a snap election, which will just freeze it in its tracks in any event. And in terms of the valuation implication of this legislation, we will never know what the valuation implication is, even if it is enacted, until the Secretary of State says, these are prescribed rates that we're going to put into this valuation. Because if they use the same discount rate from the Green Book that they used in their own impact assessment, the cost of a lease extension for the typical person will increase with even without marriage value. And that's the key to this. And this is where, so you've had this drive, particularly before the bill was published, where there was a lot of advocation of the use of a 3.5% to basically leave things alone. The, you know, if you left the rates together, the as they are, and left and removed the marriage value, the premiums would be cheaper. The for mathematically for the difference between a 90-year lease extension and the 990-year lease extension they're proposing, is the premium would go up if marriage value exists because your landlord has no future interest that they have now.
Gosh, so watch this space, and you know, God knows, if we get a new government, what will happen? And
exactly.
Also, if it passes, you know, there's going to be a lot of people who will want to challenge it.
There will be challenges, and ultimately, it will come down to what rates are put into the calculation to tell you. And you know, the evidence that I put into the committee has a graph inside that evidence that says this is what happens at certain deferment rates, and if you left the rates alone and just and left marriage value in, you can increase the cost.
Justin, thank you very much for talking to us again. It was a really interesting conversation, and we look forward to having you back.
Thank you for having me. Look forward to it.
And if you have any questions to do with marriage value or anything else to do with the leasehold and freehold bill, then please do get in touch with us and we will guide you in the right direction.
Thanks for tuning in to our latest episode of the London Property Podcast. Head over to our website where you can browse our exclusive network of top experts driving the market. As a member, you'll have direct access to our experts and their networks. Our award-winning content will help you choose the right professionals for your needs and make informed decisions about your investments. Personal recommendations are a powerful tool in connecting with trusted professionals. Let us introduce you to the right people to help you achieve your real estate goals. Contact us now to learn more about becoming a member and gaining access to these valuable resources, or joining our directory of experts.